ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदामयं ददति स्वापरन्दिगं अरदनस्य नन्दन दैवदं यच्चे पुनः पुनः श्रीमद्रूपदाम्बुजोद्धृतिस्यां जन्म जन्मनि। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरी गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती नामिने। पंचकल्प त्रिभ्यस्ता कृपा सिंधु वेबचा प्रतिदानं भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। सो टुडे इज द वेरी होली Vyas Puja Festival of His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. So somehow on this holy day, though I'm totally unqualified, most spent my life mostly addicted to all types of simple activities, born in very low class family, somehow or other not even a sannyasi, because he was strict brahmachari his whole life. Fallen householder, somehow they've invited me to glorify this most exalted personality on this day. So today is the fifth day of the dark half of the month of Falgun, also known as month of Govinda. Falgun, we know, is the month where Mahaprabhu appears on the end of this month, Purnima, Gaur Purnima, Falgun Purnima. And we're sitting in that most holy dham, of Sri Vrindavan Dham, where Radha Krishna's Nitya Leela is going on even today for those who are fortunate enough to see. And in that Vrindavan Dham, we're situated in sitting in Ramanreti, very enjoyable sands where Krishna and Balaram used to sport. And in that Ramanreti, we're sitting in the beautiful temple that was built by the most wonderful disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, our own dear A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And we're all gathered here to celebrate the 140th birth anniversary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Because he appeared in 1874, so that means 140 years ago we're celebrating. So at that time, his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was the magistrate in Puri. The magistrate house is not far from the Puri temple, situated on the grand road where Rath Yatra takes place. So in the holy dham of Jagannath Puri in 1874, he made his appearance in this mortal world. And Bhaktivinoda gave him the name Bimal Prasad. Bimla, we know, is the internal potency of Lord Jagannath. Her temple is also there inside the Jagannath complex. So the mercy of the internal potency of the Lord. And he was the fourth son of Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda had many children. He was fourth son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. On his when he was 6 months old, the Rath Yatra took place. And somehow the cart stopped for 3 days in front of Srila Bhaktivinoda's house and refused to move. So Bhaktivinoda told his wife, Bhagavati Devi, you please take the child and place him at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. So she climbed on the cart and placed the child at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, and one of Jagannath's garlands, boom, fell and encircled the child. Actually, we forgot one important thing, was when he appeared, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body just like a Brahman thread. And very famous astrologers of the time noted that there was 32 special symptoms of a great personality within his body. And the astrologer who did his horoscope, he was astounded. I have never seen such a horoscope. This person is not an ordinary person, not an ordinary soul. He will do great work in his lifetime. He was totally astonished. And as if in confirmation of all of these things, on the 6th month, that garland fell from Lord Jagannath and encircled the child. Because the cart was staying there, then Bhagavati, since it was 6 months, it was time for annapraashan ceremony. So she took some Jagannath Prasad, and the first grains that Bimal Prasad took were Mahaprasad of Jagannath. Jagannath Swami ki! And actually throughout his life, whenever Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was offered Jagannath Prasad, he would circumambulate, offering many prayers to that Prasad before. We just see Prasad immediately, we just shove it in our mouth. Especially Jagannath Prasad. But he would circumambulate and offer prayers to the Mahaprasad and then honor the Mahaprasad. Because his first Prasad and first grain was Jagannath Mahaprasad. At 10 months, his family moved to Navadvip, to a place called Ranagat. And he stayed there for most of his childhood. Then there's a famous story, about 3 or 4 years old, Bhaktivinoda brought some mangoes to the house from the bazaar. And immediately, little Bimal Prasad, he grabbed one of those mangoes and began to eat. And Bhaktivinoda said, "What is this?" In a very grave voice. "New fruit has come into the house. It is meant to be offered to the Lord. You are taking before Giridhari. This is not good. Whatever first comes to the house should be offered to the Lord. Then it can be accepted." So only 3 or 4 years old, he felt, "I am a big offender. I have taken that which was meant for the enjoyment of the Lord. I have enjoyed. So throughout my life, I will never take mango. I will never eat this thing again in my life." 3 or 4 years old, he took a little vow like that. And Prabhupada explained that even in his later years, we disciples used to offer him mangoes. That was just child's, there's no offense of child. He said, "No, I'm offender, I cannot take." Throughout his life. We know how even our Prabhupada was very fond of mangoes, and anybody who's had the pleasure of taking a mango prasadam, it is so nice. But throughout his life, he never tasted again mango prasadam. He went to 7 years old. At that time, Bhaktivinoda began the work on Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta. At that time, a Kurma Didi was found. And Bhaktivinoda gave that to a small child, 7 years old. It informed him how to worship that deity. He worshipped that deity. And even at... he memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita, all 700 slokas. Not only memorized at 7 years old, that's one thing, but to be able to explain each and every verse, he was also 7 years old. He was able to explain each and every verse. At 11 years old, he went on Prikama with his father of all the holy places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvip. and visited all the holy place of the Lord's pastimes. Also at that time he began studying astrology, and he became so advanced in astrology that he was given the title Siddhanta Saraswati. And he entered his student life, and no one could defeat him in argument. And even in his student life, he never studied. Nobody ever saw him study. He would always put Prarthana or Bhakti, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, other books. But whenever his teachers asked him the questions, he would answer without fail. And he would debate with other students, and nobody could defeat him. Finally, there was one, Panchanan Sahityacharya, who was a great scholar. And Bhaktisiddhanta Bimal Prasad began to big argument with him, debate. And he was so thoroughly defeated in that debate, he was completely shocked, he was beside himself. He was unable to restrict the call of nature. At the age of 13, his father brought tulsi beads from Jagannath Puri and placed them on his neck and gave him the mantra of Hari and the special Nisringadev mantra. Oh, please turn off all these babies, they're crying. At the age of 16, he started a special August society, which everybody was supposed to remain celibate throughout their life. But everyone else failed except for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he also began studying Sanskrit, and his teacher was so amazed at his ability to learn. He said, "You should study Sanskrit. You should devote your life to the study of Sanskrit." And he said, "My life is devoted to studying the scriptures describing my Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and nothing else. I'm not meant for grammar and all of these other types of things. It is meant for studying the scriptures of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Then from 1895 to 1905, he was entered into the service of the king of Tripura. There's special connection between Tripura state and Gaudiya Math from this time. Even there's a very beautiful temple in Vrindavan that's now known as Vrindakunj that was built by the king of Tripura who became a Vaishnava. And he stopped many evil practices. Many people were cheating, as this is the nature of governments. There's always corruption and all these things. So he stopped many practices, although he was very unpopular. But finally, in 1905, he was fed up with all this type of duty. He wanted to preach. So he retired, and the king gave him a lifelong pension, which he accepted for some time, and then later he discarded even receiving that pension. In 1898 was the first time he met Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj had spent most of his life doing bhajan in Braj, but 1898 he came back to Mayapur, and he came specifically to visit Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. At that time he met young Bimal Prasad, and he gave him many gifts. He had one little tiger skin hat and some other things that he'd received from his Guru Maharaj, Bhagwat Das Babaji in Braj. So he gave those things to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and Bhaktisiddhanta was enchanted by his qualities. Later in 1900, Bhaktivinoda impressed upon his son that you should take initiation from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Even though he was so learned, we just heard even one great learned scholar was so defeated he was unable to restrict the call of nature. He was such a powerful, knowledgeable He was given the name Siddhanta Saraswati, so many things. And we know Gokrishwar Das Babaji was completely illiterate. He couldn't even write his own name. So how to accept initiation from such a learned scholar, from an illiterate person? But Bhaktivinoda encouraged him. So he asked many times, and every time Gorgashore would say, Mahaprabhu was not given the order. So finally one day, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was standing by the river, and he said, of course, you're the devotee of that great crooked fellow, and I'm an honest moralist of this world, so naturally you and your crooked lord will not accept me. But somehow or other, I have accepted you as my life and soul. If you refuse to accept me, then I will jump in the river and end my life. Then tears came in the eyes of Gorgashwar Das Babaji. He said, all right, you go take your bath in the Jalangi and come and I will give you an initiation. And then he gave him a very special name, Sri Barsa Banavi Devi Daita, who's very dear to Barsa Banavi Devi, Srimati, who's the beloved, Daita means beloved, of Barsa Banavi Devi, Srimati Radharani. Also in that same year, 1900, he moved to Puri because Bhaktivinoda bought a piece of property just across the street from Haridasa Samadhi to do his bhajan. And he was staying there with Bhaktivinoda. And at that time, they became friends with this guy who started a certain mantra that sometimes comes from the back side of our temple. We won't mention that mantra. But anyway, at that time, he had started that mantra. They were very good friends. And then eventually, he began preaching his deviant philosophy, and Srila Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta both impressed upon him that this is not proper. Because he was trying to say that we shouldn't chant Hare Krishna mantra out loud, although all the scriptures describe Unchai. Mahaprabhu was chanting Mahamantra Unchai in loud voice. And many other deviations he was preaching. They tried to save him by their compassion, but he refused. So then a great debate arose in Puri between the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta and the followers of this fellow, and it became very heated. And finally Bhaktivinoda, he saw these people are becoming very agitated, better because Bhaktisiddhanta was uncompromising. So Bhaktivinoda felt it's better for him to leave Puri. So he had to leave Puri. So then he decided to return to Mayapur. Well, first he went to South India, and in South India he discussed many principles of Tridanda Sannyas from the Ramanuja Sampradaya and Sri Rangam. And he made a whole tour of South India. Then he decided to go to Mayapur and sit down and chant 1 billion names of Krishna. So he returned to Mayapur and he sat there in one place for 4 years, and then later he moved to where, if you've ever been to Mayapur, you know there's one Radhakund that's called Vrajapatana. So in that Vrajapatana he spent the other 5 years completing his vow of 1 billion names of Krishna. At that time, that was 1905. 1906, he initiated his first disciple. There was one Rohini Kumar Ghosh, who was very much impressed by the Sahajiyas. But he came in contact with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and understood that Bhaktisiddhanta was actually preaching the real philosophy of Mahaprabhu and became very impressed with him. He went back to his guru's place. But that night he had dream that the guru and his wife, everybody were dressing them, not even wife, just consort. These are sahajiyas. So everybody dressed them as father and mother. So he saw in his dream that they took the forms of tiger and tigress and came to eat him. And at that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta came with a stick and chased the tiger and tigress away. So he immediately understood the import of this dream, and he ran back and fell at the feet of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who initiated him, his first disciple. So then 1911, there arose a great controversy in the sadhu world about the position of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. And there was a big debate planned on this. So Bhaktivinoda, at that time, his health was not permitting him to go and join this debate. So he entrusted this service to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to the meeting. And when he spoke, people were completely amazed. At first he began quoting verses from the scriptures, glorifying Brahmins like anything. And the opposing party became very happy. Even they didn't realize there was so many verses glorifying the Brahmins. They became very, very happy and delighted. Then he began to delineate the position of a Vaishnava who's above even a Brahmin. Regardless of his caste or creed or birth or anything. Because there may be so many, actually if you meet a real Mayavadi, they will quote so many quotes from scripture. As fast as the Ganga flows, they can quote from the scripture that unless one is born in Brahmin family, he cannot become a Brahmin. They will just, we think we know a few little verses and we're puffed up, but if you meet a real Mayavadi, torrents and torrents, Jai Sisi Gornitai Sisi Krishna Ballau Sisi Radha Shyam Sundar. So there may be so many verses like this within the scriptures, but we sing every so often in Sadgosami Astika that Saddharma Samstapako. They came to establish eternal religious principles. There may be so many material principles or temporary religious principles, but they came to establish Saddharma, eternal religion. So according to eternal religious principles, just like we know even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chattavarna Maya Sushim, Guna Karma Vibhagas. He doesn't say Janma Karma, he says Guna Karma Vibhagas. So we can understand the real quality of a Brahman is not his birth, but according to his qualities. If one has got the qualities of a Brahman, then he should be accepted as a Brahman. So Bhaktisiddhanta began to preach all of these eternal religious principles. The other party became furious. And the debate went on for 3 days. Just like nowadays, some fellow, even from our own camp, trying to say that because the occidental breed of devotees cannot become acharya. Although Mahaprabhu himself made Haridas Thakur, was born in a Muslim family, Mlecha Yavana. He made him the Namacharya. But anyway, he established eternal religious principles. So after 3 days, Bhaktisiddhanta gave the concluding speech. Everyone rushed to the stage when they heard. They all jumped for joy when they heard his concluding speech about the superiority of a Vaishnava. Anyone who becomes a devotee of Krishna, no matter what his jati, what his birth, he can become a Vaishnava and become even more than a Brahmin. Everybody was so amazed. And the people rushed forward, and the police were very worried. What's going to happen? Thousands of people are there, they're rushing forward, because whenever a sadhu comes, everyone tries to touch his feet. Although Bhaktisiddhanta was very particular about not letting anyone touch his feet. So, the police realized that it would be a huge tumult and riot. They grabbed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta from the stage. They took him backstage. They dumped against his protest, his feet into a bucket of water. Then they added, they poured it into a big pot and added more water. And then they went outside and sprinkled that water on all the crowd to pacify them. And everyone was very joyful to get the foot dust of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this is our great heritage. In 1912, one king named Manindra Chandra Nandi Bahadur invited him to come and speak for several days at his palace. some part of Bengal. He was a great king. But his court was filled with so many sahajiyas who were very worried that if they will be exposed if Bhaktisiddhanta speaks. So they were always prohibiting him from speaking, or they only gave him a couple minutes to speak, because they realized that the king, because kings give lots of money, they're very generous, they'll lose all their money. So they refused to let him speak. So then Bhaktisiddhanta began to fast, even though the king was sending him prasadam on a golden tali. Just imagine. Actually, these stainless steel talis, this is like fifth class. This is form of iron. Iron is like a fifth class. But you can just imagine, we've seen silver tali. We never see a gold tali. But he refused to eat. And the sahajiyas informed the king, it's because you're of a low caste, so he's refusing your food. So finally, on the fourth day of fasting, he was given an opportunity to speak. As soon as he started speaking, all the sahajiyas began to shout and stopped him from speaking. So then he went back and packed up his things and went to the train station. 11 o'clock in the night, the king came to the train station begging him, please stay. Why is it you've refused my food? He said, because I came here to glorify the Supreme Absolute Truth to you, and I don't have any opportunity to do that. So how I can eat? My duty is to describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If I cannot do that, how I can? I've come here to give you Krishna. I'm not having any opportunity, so how I can take? And besides, your pujaris, they do not know what is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So whatever they offer is not prasadam. How I can take this boga? Then he left on the train at 11 o'clock. He reached back to some village near Mayapur and walked 5 miles to Vrajapatana, where he sat down and cooked himself. And finally, late in the night, he ate his meal. So this should be a lesson to us. We're not eager to eat here and there and here. They're only in the house of somebody who's Vaishnava. Then in 1913, because he had done all of his... He was always thinking how to spread the mission of Mahaprabhu. So he got his first rented house in Kaligat. And there he'd established the Bhagwat printing press. Because he was very interested to spread the glories of the Lord. And he said, your kirtan will be heard for a couple of blocks. But this, your mandanga, will be heard for a couple of blocks. But the printing press, that will be heard around the world. He called this the Brihat Mandanga. This is 1913, he'd established this phrase, Brihat Madanga. And he established, I think, about 4 different printing presses. This is the first one, Bhagwat Press. Then in 1915, Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj left this mortal world. When Bhaktisiddhanta was informed by one disciple, then immediately he was staying at Rani Dharmshala. We know that he stayed just next to the latrine, so people wouldn't bother him. So all the mahants and religious leaders of Navadvip had appeared because they all wanted to give him samadhi. Because everybody knows if we have Gorkha, because everybody knew he was a great saint. If we have his samadhi, then we'll get a lot of money. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta was not interested in money. He was interested in glorifying, seeing the proper service of such an exalted soul. So then, finally they reached there, and there's already a big crowd and big argument was going on. The chief inspector of police had also reached there, thinking there will be some trouble. And there was a big argument, and finally they said, Gorkhashore is a Babaji, and this fellow, he's not a sannyasi. He's not a Babaji or a sannyasi. He cannot give him samadhi. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I may not be a sannyas, but I have remained celibate throughout my whole life, more than some other people I know who are here, who are secretly maintaining illicit relations. So my Guru Maharaj is pure, and if anybody has any impurity in his life, he will not be able to touch his body. He will be ruined if he touches that body. So I have no objection if anybody wants to give my Guru Maharaj. I'm the only disciple. I may not be a sannyasi, but I'm his only disciple. So it is my duty to give him samadhi. But I have no objection if anyone is here who in the last year, in the last 6 months, within the last 3 months, within the last month, within the last 2 weeks, within the last week, within the last 3 days, if there's someone here who has not had illicit connection with a woman, he can give samadhi to my Guru Maharaj. And the police chief was surprised. Said, well, how will you prove it? He said, I will accept their word. And one by one, they all turned their backs and walked away from that place. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati made a beautiful samadhi for him. 16 years later, there was a flood, and the samadhi was lost in the flood. Then everybody ran there to try it. They were going to dig up the samadhi and establish it in their own mutt, their own temple. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, only those who are pure will be able to find it. And sure enough, his disciples found that samadhi. They were able to bring it up entirely and transfer it to Brajpatana in Mayapur, Bhakti Siddhanta's mutt. In 1918, he decided to take sannyas. Now this was very controversial because in Mahaprabhu's mission up to that time, everyone took Babaji Vesh, where they just take a piece of white cloth around the loins and a white cloth around the shoulders, chadar, like that. And because sannyas is part of Varnashram Dharma, one who's Babaji, he's beyond all of these material designations. He gives up his Brahman thread, he gives up his danda, he gives up everything, he just becomes free from all that was in line with Mahaprabhu's mission. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had a better idea, that this Brahman thread is not a sign of pride that I have become a Brahman. It is a sign that I have received the mercy of the lotus feet of a bona fide guru. And it is more humble. They were, their argument to take sannyas is a form of pride. Now I'm a big sannyasi. But he said, actually, those persons who are Babaji's, their very exalted position is better. We take a lower position and worship them from that lower position. It's actually humility to take sannyas. So no God, he was the only disciple of his spiritual master. No God brother was there from whom to take sannyas. So also very controversial, he took sannyas from a picture of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Then that same year, in Calcutta, he rented his second house. That was at Ultadanga Road, which we all know, very famous place. And there he established Srila Bhakti Vinod Asan, the seed of Srila Bhakti Vinod, and began his preaching more and more. Because just before that, before establishing Ultadanga, he had a dream. I can't even read my own writing. In that dream, suddenly, Mahaprabhu, the whole Panchatattva appeared before him, dancing and dancing. His own spiritual master who had left this world, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur, all of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they all appeared to him in this dream. And they told him that you go on preaching the mission of Mahaprabhu and don't worry, we're all behind you. You don't worry about anything. We're all behind you. Unlimited support, unlimited wealth will come, because unlimited wealth is meant to be used in the service of the Lord. So all these things will come to you. So then, without any means to pay the rent, he got this place at Ultadanga Road and began his preaching and established Bhakti Vinod Asan. That was 1918. Later in 1920, he renamed it as Gaudiya Mutt and established the first Gaudiya Mutt temple there in Ultadanga. Then 1921, he revived Nabadweep Mandal Prakrama. Many of you here on your way to Mayapur to do the Nabadweep Mandal Prakrama. This was revived by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1921. But when he was doing Prakrama, because he was preaching that even low-born people could become Brahmins, and he was preaching against the Hajjis, many places they were pelted with stones. And some places they were not even allowed to get darshan of the deities. Such opposition. But just like he said, the caravan may come and the jackals may howl, but the caravan goes on. So it did not deter him. The people were even throwing stones and trying to discourage him. He started this Navadvip Mandal Parikrama that's still going on today. And practically one of the, most of them go to the place and come back to their mutt. But it is only practically ISKCON who's going to the place and staying in the place and then going to the next place and staying in the place, keeping alive the tradition of Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. So this was established 1921. Then we know a most important event happened in 1922 at Ultadanga Road. Prabhupada was sort of a leader amongst his friends, and some of his friends had been to Ultadanga Road and heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talk, and they realized this is a great saintly person. So they wanted to get Prabhupada's stamp of approval. And the Prabhupada said, I've seen all of these bogus people just chanting Hare Krishna and smoking bidi and carrying on with women and so many things. He said, no, this one's different. I've seen them all. No. He said, Prabhupada said, practically by force they dragged me there. I didn't want to go to see another bogus Baba. And as soon as he came in, 1922 means India was pushing and very hard for independence. Independence was moving, movement was going on. In fact, many of the leaders of the Indigenous movement, they were criticizing Bhaktisiddhanta, why are you keeping these young men and giving them sannyas? We need them. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, Mahaprabhu's mission is more important. And anyway, they're just skinny sannyasis. You take the big fat men, we leave our young skinny sannyasis alone. Like that. So everybody was behind this independence movement. That was the whole mood. So when our Prabhupada came and he paid his obeisances, since that's the culture, even before he stood up, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, you're intelligent young men, you understand English language, you should speak the message of Mahaprabhu in English language. So immediately, Prabhupada, who's never defeated by anybody, amongst his friends, he was always came out in any argument. He felt like I must give some argument. He said, we're a dependent nation. Who will listen to the message of Mahaprabhu from a dependent nation? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta spoke to everybody in the whole of India. That time 800 million people would have been behind him, what Prabhupada said. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada said, the mission of Mahaprabhu, the message of Mahaprabhu is so important, it can't wait for political change. It doesn't depend on political change. It is the most important thing in the life of every living being to hear this message of Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada was simply astonished. He says, the first time I was defeated. And then he listened to him speak. And on the way home, his friend said, what do you think? What do you think, Abai Baba? What do you think? He said, the mission of Mahaprabhu is in the proper hands. The mission of Mahaprabhu is in the proper hands. So 1929, he began his program of establishing 108 Padapitas all over India. He established, wherever Mahaprabhu had gone on his South Indian tour, he established the lotus feet of Sriman Mahaprabhu. So he established 108 of these Padapitas. Those who went in that original Padayatra back in the 500th anniversary, they saw many of these places all over. Even in Kashi, even when we were in Kumbh Mela, in Prayag, also there's one Padapit, Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. So 108 he established. He started in 1928 and established. Then in 1930 they moved from Ultadanga Road. They rented just a small rented house. At that time, Bhaktisiddhanta was living on the roof. The householders were living on the next floor. And Brahmachari sannyasis were living in another place. Like that. So it was very small quarters. But in 1930, they established a beautiful marble temple in Bagh Bazar. And Bhaktisiddhanta personally installed Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Gopinath, and Radha Govinda in that Bagh Bazar in 1930. And then he began very heavy preaching all over India. Within his lifetime, he established 64 Gaudiya Mutts, many of them in Mayapur itself. He also established a beautiful temple in at the Yogapeet, near the Yogapeet. He established a beautiful temple and many Gaudiya Mutts all over Mayapur and throughout the, even in Rangoon in Burma, and small Gaudiya Mutt in UK, and one also in Germany. Like that, he established 64 Gaudiya Mutts within his lifetime. He began heavy preaching all over the place. In fact, in 1933, Prabhupada relates how some of his godbrothers went to England and they met Lord Zetland. And Prabhupada said, when I was in Scottish Church College, Lord Zetland came to visit our college. And I was sitting in the front row, right in front of Lord Zetland. Prabhupada was very proud. I was sitting there, right in the front row, right in front of him. So this Lord Zetland, he met my godbrother, and he asked my godbrother, can you make me a Brahmin? And he said, yes, you have to give up illicit sex, drinking, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. And Lord Zetland said, impossible. So Prabhupada said, I also thought when I came to the West that I will present these things and everybody will say, impossible, you go home. Please go home. But somehow by the mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada said, I'm just following in his footsteps. I have come out successful and they didn't send me home, but they've made so many homes for me all over the world. So this is 1933. Because this was desire of Srila Bhakti Binod. Also, that Mahaprabhu's message reached in 1896. He had, Prabhupada's birth year, he had sent one book, Lord Chaitanya's Life and Precepts, which he sent them around the world. One of them was found in McGill University in Canada. So this was the order, desire of Bhakti Binod Thakur. It was desire, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta also tried to fulfill the order of his father. And finally he found our Srila Prabhupada, who took the message of Mahaprabhu and the mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to the whole world. And therefore we're all sitting here today. As I mentioned in the beginning, we're sitting in this beautiful Raman Reti in Vrindavan, in this beautiful Krishna Balaram temple. We would not be sitting here if it wasn't for the preaching of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki. So he tirelessly preached and traveled and met so many scholars, not only from India, but we have histories of even Western scholars coming and being astounded by the erudition of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Even English is my birth language. Sometimes when I read Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's works, I have to get a dictionary to understand what he's saying. He has such command. We're very fortunate, our Prabhupada, he has put the same message as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in such simple English. When we read Bhakti Siddhanta, we need a dictionary, but Prabhupada's English is very simple. But same message is being transmitted, because this is the business of Guru Parampara. This is why we call this day on the appearance of the spiritual master or the spiritual of our Param Gurudev. We call it Vyas Puja. Because all the Vedas and all the scriptures are written by Srila Vyasadeva, and that person who presents not his own speculations but exactly the message of Vyasadeva, he's the guru. Therefore his appearance day is observed as Vyas Puja. On one appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada says, for that I've already told you the story, that one saint, he blessed four people differently. He told the king that, Chiranjeev, you live forever. He told the king's son. He said, why? He said, now you're enjoying like anything. King means he's enjoying like anything, so much sense pleasure. But after he dies, because of all those sinful activities, he will suffer like anything. So Chiranjeev, better you live forever. Because now you're enjoying, after your death you will suffer like anything. And to the Muniputra, he said, Najiva, Najiva, don't live, don't live. Because now he's perfect brahmachari, studying the scriptures and leading pure life, and no sinful activity has come in his life yet, so better he die now and go back to home, back to Godhead. Because who knows what happened in the future. We have seen many people have tried and failed, so better as young child, young brahmachari, better to leave your body now and go back to Godhead. And to the devotee, he said, Jivova Marova. Either you live or you die. Because devotee, his life, living is preaching the message of Mahaprabhu with great joy. And dying, he will go back to the spiritual sky in great joy to be with Krishna. So either you live or die, it is your choice. And to the butcher, he said, Jivona Marova. Don't live, don't die. Living his life is horrible, filled with blood and so many horrible things we don't want to describe in this holy place. And after his death, he was horrible things. So either you live, neither you live, neither you die. So we're celebrating the appearance day, but appearance, disappearance, both are the same for the great devotees, because their life is dedicated to serving the mission of Sri Krishna to rescue the fallen souls. Sriman Mahaprabhu appeared specifically in this Kali Yuga, where we're the most fallen and degraded souls. No one is interested in spiritual life. We see every day before our eyes the age of Kali is marching on. In fact, we're astounded sometimes. But still we see somehow or other Srila Bhakti, by the desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, by the desire of our Srila Prabhupada, somehow the preaching is going on. Just last week, we established a temple in Noida, grand temple with Gornitai dancing, at least three-story high Gornitai dancing on the front of the temple, glorious temple. All over the place, glorious temples are coming up. The mission of the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is being satisfied. We know that song. He said, when I see everyone dancing and chanting Hare Krishna, then my desire is fully satisfied. So the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada is coming to its fruition. Everywhere we see people dancing, chanting, wearing tilak. That was a point I made in my lecture there. When we were 40, 50 years ago, when we first came to India, we thought no one will become a devotee. They're all addicted to drinking tea and smoking bidis. Especially tea, they can never get. As soon as you say tea, how will they ever become devotees? But now, in Noida, we were seeing huge, enormous pandal. I thought, why they made so huge pandal? But actually, what's filled all the way to the back was filled with devotees, all with beautiful Bharati faces, and those beautiful Bharati faces, beautiful Gaudiya tilak, on their necks was Kantimala. They were all dancing in ecstasy, chanting Hare Krishna. The message, Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, fully satisfied. Even in this holy place of Bharat, where everybody's trying to imitate the West, that was Prabhupada's trick. Let me bring some white devotees there. The West is imitating your culture, and you take it up. And we see it is coming out successful. So many thousands of devotees there with tilak and neck beads, dancing in ecstasy. So on this very, very special day, we're unlimitedly indebted to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada for pushing on and for inspiring our Srila Prabhupada to press this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that everyone in the world will dance and chant Hare Krishna and be in ecstasy and go back to home, back to Godhead. So we're very eternally grateful to him. And I started this lecture, I mean, we could go on and on and on. I'll tell a few interesting stories, because now our dear God brother, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, has collected all the stories of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There's so many interesting stories. And we always hear about how he was Simaguru. He was very uncompromising and very, he always sat just like we see. He's always sitting very, very straight. I'm like this. He was sitting very, very straight all the time, very strict. And we heard about his strictness and this and that. But his heart was soft as butter. In the Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhava, it describes how at night he would go and make sure that the mosquito nets for the brahmacharis were tied properly, because their bodies are meant to be used for spreading the mission of Mahaprabhu. So if they get sick, they will not be able to do it. So he would come and personally make sure that all the mosquito nets are tied properly. He had such a heart of butter. Anybody would sell a few little, their little pamphlets. He would immediately praise them like anything. Nowadays, you know, we're hearing the scores every day. Almost 1,000 books is going out every day. You know, somebody just did a few pamphlets, he would praise them like that. He was very soft-hearted. He loved kirtan. He loved, his heart was... Sometimes he would even fall in ecstasy, although most of the time he tried to hide it, but there's some documented instances of him falling in ecstasy. So we always hear these heavy, heavy stories of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, but he was very soft and very wonderful and very loving. Sometimes you see the kirtan party near Ultadanga Road. Bhaktisiddhanta looks so loving with all the disciples doing Harinam through the streets of Calcutta. Some interesting stories. One time, they were in between Puri and Mindapur. They were in Mindapur, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was writing some book, very busy. And he asked one brahmachari to sit beside the table and chant. So that brahmachari was sitting there chanting, and he saw this hand, like this, very ghostly hand, come through the window like this. And he took one look, he fainted. Bhaktisiddhanta, get up, chant Hare Krishna. So you can Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And this hand again reached through the window. And Bhaktisiddhanta gave him Bhagavatam. Now you chant Bhagavatam. Then he began chanting Bhagavatam. And the hand again came. And he just kept chanting Bhagavatam. And the hand disappeared. Another time, I forget where it was. It's a very interesting story. Bhaktisiddhanta gave a lecture about how we shouldn't be attached to anything in this world. Even to the smallest thing, we have to give all up attachments to everything in this world and become only attached to Krishna. He gives heavy lecture about giving up all attachments, giving up all attachments like that. And they were just, it was a simple place where they were staying. He was staying in a, like a bamboo hut with the one side was open to the courtyard, and there was a little bamboo shack where the boga was kept for the deities. And the cook came and he opened up the bamboo door, and he didn't latch it properly. And he went, took the boga to the kitchen to cook. Meanwhile, as soon as there's any boga around, you know who comes, especially if here in Vrindavan and also many other places. So wherever this place was, I don't remember where it was. Monkey came. And door was not latched. So immediately that monkey opened the door and he grabbed some bananas. Bananas, just very ordinary fruit. This is like the most ordinary of all the fruits. You know, everybody... Like we see in the morning in Vrindavan, you see all the little ladies with their saris over their heads and a little tali. They have little bananas, some incense and some rice and some kumkum going from temple to temple doing the puja. Banana is an ordinary thing. At least for us it's ordinary. But I was temple president here in, I believe it was 1990, the first Russians came. That was old, old days, 1990. For them, banana was something special. Oh, banana, papaya. They'd never seen these things back in the... Now they have all these things. But those days, oh, banana, papaya, pineapple. They were all amazed seeing these things. But banana, ordinary things. So just monkey took some ordinary bananas. Not a big deal. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was writing on his desk. At those times, they didn't have ballpoint pens. You had a little bottle of ink and a quill, and you know, dipped in the ink and wrote like that. Bhaktisiddhanta got up, his side of his leg hit the table, the ink went flying all over the papers he was writing on. He ran and he chased that monkey and got the bananas back. So then the cook came and he very sheepishly latched the door properly, and he came up and helped Bhaktisiddhanta put his papers back and clean up the desk. And then very sheepishly said, Maharaj, I don't understand something. Yes? You told this morning in your lecture we should not be attached to anything material in this world, and just for a few bananas you jumped and dumped over your table and ruined your writing and this and that. Said, "You fool, you think those are your bananas. Those bananas belong to Radharani. You think those are your bananas. Those bananas belong to Radharani." This was the vision of a great Acharya. We should not be attached to anything for ourselves, but for Krishna we have to protect all of his property. The most, thinking that it is Radharani's property, we have to give special protection like that. So in this way we could go on glorifying Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur forever and ever. But I think the bell is gone, we'll have to stop here. At 12:45 we'll all come back here. We'll have Puspanjali for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada and Aarti. Then there'll be glorification of His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj, because he also picked this most auspicious day to leave this world. And Puspanjali for him, and then we'll have 2:30, there'll be a big feast for all the devotees. So I began this lecture saying that I'm most unqualified, fallen householder. Couldn't even do my householder darn perfectly. And so unqualified, born in a Mlecha family. So I'm most unqualified to speak on this day. But actually, this is the glory of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that such a low-born, Mlecha-born person is sitting before you, offering glories at the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is the glory of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada ki! Hare Krishna. Any questions? Where's our traveling microphone? That we'll save for after 12:40, after Puspanjali. I wasn't there, so I don't know. Anybody else want to say something? We don't have breakfast, so anybody wants to say something else about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada? We skipped today's appearance day, so we're skipping the disappearance. That's for disappearance day. Yes? Huh? We can offer special prayer to Srila on this day, yes. We can pray to him all the time. On this particular day, yes. And I'll give you a special example. There's no prasadam, so we can go on. I'll tell you a very interesting story about praying to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is very, very, very old days. Prabhupada had one servant named Kartikeya Maharaj, who's no longer, because that time he was Brahmachari. He's no longer in this world. He's very dear to me. He personally told me this story. Nobody knows this story because it was personally told to me. That they were in Hawaii at that time. And one day, Govindadasi came back from the store and she had wheat germ. Now, I've never met anybody from India who knows what wheat germ is, but just, it's not suji. That's the point to understand. It's some sort of part of the wheat that germinates. That's the wheat germ. It's a very healthy thing. So Kartikeya, he saw this wheat germ and he thought, wow, next time Prabhupada asks for halava, I will make it with the wheat germ instead of with the suji. So one day it rained. So it was a little bit cold. When it was cold, Prabhupada liked you to take halava because it's full of ghee and grains and make you nice and warm. So Prabhupada called Kartikeya. Kartikeya, you make some halava. So Kartikeya went to the kitchen and he started cooking and he said, I'm going to make the halava with wheat germ instead of the suji. And the whole time he's thinking, Prabhupada is really going to like this. He's really going to be happy with this. That was his whole bhava. How he's really going to like this. He's really going to be happy. He's going to be really pleased. You know, and he was cooking and cooking and cooking. Then he offered it to the deities. Then he put it in a bowl and he brought it into Prabhupada's room and he offered it to Prabhupada and Prabhupada looked and said, what is this? Halava means suji. And with left hand, he told him, take it away. Now, when you reject something by left hand, that's very heavy. Prabhupada said, take it out with the left hand, take it out. So Kartikeya, he was a very emotional type of person. I don't know if anybody remembers Kartikeya. You remember? Yeah. So he was completely destroyed. Prabhupada just, take it out. So he was crying. And he went and he sat in the temple room before the picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and he said, I was just trying to please your spiritual son, Srila Prabhupada, but somehow my only desire was to please him, but somehow he's become so upset. He was crying. My only desire was to please him, but now he's so upset, I don't know what to do. He was praying to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur like that. Suddenly he heard Prabhupada's voice, Kartikeya, Kartikeya. Kartikeya went running into Prabhupada's room. He said, bring that halwa. So then he brought the bowl of halwa. He ate everything with a great gusto. Bing, bing, bing. He said, bring more. Bing, 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 bing. This way he finished off the whole pot of halwa. So Kartikeya told me, two things I learned from this. One is that our Prabhupada is not alone. There's a whole chain of spiritual masters. He was praying to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta when all of a sudden Prabhupada called him. Whole chain of spiritual masters going all the way back to the lotus feet of Krishna, offering us the rope to get out of this dark, dire material existence. And second thing is, the grandfather, Prabhupada always told, grandfather is more merciful than the father. So some of you are thinking that we're very unfortunate, we never saw Prabhupada like you, we didn't get initiated by Prabhupada like you, we're so unfortunate. No. Prabhupada said, the grandfather's more, you have Prabhupada as your grandfather guru, you're more fortunate. Just like I have practical experience, my grandfather, he had a little store nowadays, they would call it a 7-Eleven or convenience store or something like that. But those days we didn't call it like that. But anyway, so one side of the store, there was all the chocolates. So myself and all my brothers and sisters, we used to go to the side and our grandfather would give us chocolates. Now our father, he had to pay for all the dental bills. He would come, no, 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 no. And grandpa by the back, he would give us chocolates. So you're not unfortunate that you never met Prabhupada or you never saw Prabhupada. You're more fortunate. Prabhupada will be more merciful to you than to us because the grandfather is more merciful. You're most fortunate to have Prabhupada as your grandfather guru. Srila Prabhupada ki! Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada ki! Jai Go Premanande! You want to say something in glorification? So what to speak of great-grandfather? So some of you, Bhaktisiddhanta is your great-grandfather. For some of us, he's our grandfather guru. So this is most fortunate day. We're most fortunate people. We have to push on this movement of Srila Bhakti Binod Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and given to us by our divine master, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.